connecting to Gyan Yoga. And we should understand that this is meant to support ourselves in Bhakti Yoga, to help us. So, what did we learn yesterday? Arjuna asked 6 questions. Which questions? Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetragya, Jnanam, Yeyam. He wants the definition of these terms. He wants to know what they are. And so this will lead Krishna into a very technical explanation of what these things are. So what did we discuss yesterday? Kshetra, Kshetragya. And we had a short synopsis of what is Jnanam also. So, can anyone explain us what is the Kshetragya? The one who knows the field. Okay, and who is that person who knows the field? The soul and the super soul, both of them have the same quality of consciousness. When there is the point of gya, of knowledge, it means that there is consciousness. So there is the supreme consciousness and there is the individual consciousness. And both of them are knowers. They are seers and they are knowers. They are aware. And so how did we understand the difference between the two, the soul and the super soul, from these verses?
Soul is only understood individually.
Individual, yes. We saw in verse 2, one kshetra and one kshetragya. And we saw in verse 3, one kshetragya and sarva kshetreshu, many kshetras. And also there was one word that Srila Prabhupada pointed out, cha, which he indicated this is the plurality, this means there is a plurality of the knower. It means there is another knower, yet another. There was one and there is yet another. And what is the characteristic of that one, the second knower? He knows all the kshetras. First one knows one, this one knows all the kshetras. Very nice. And then, so what is the body then? It's made of 24 elements. Senses, yes. Okay, it is made of 24 elements. And we went over these elements. Anyone remembers them all? So this is five what? This is what, the easy ones. Five gross elements. And then?
Kammanobuddhi.
So there's three subtle elements. Yes?
Then the ten sense.
Ten senses.
Then five sense objects.
And then five sense objects. So you've got 23. One is missing. Which one is missing? You had 20 plus 3?
Plus 1 unmanifested.
The unmanifested. Yeah. He said Mano, Buddhir, Ahankar, the three subtle elements. Okay, that's very good. We have all of them. And how does this relate to our life?
Interactions.
Oh, and there are interactions. Well, we're not so much aware of the elements themselves, but we are aware of the interactions. So there are the elements and their interactions. And the interactions, even though usually we very much identify with them, but actually they belong to the kshetra. They are not part of us. So what are some of the interactions that we heard about?
What? Desire.
Distress, different experiences that we go through, happiness, desire. When it says desire here, we have to understand it's material desire hovering over the mind. Because otherwise, the Ichha Shakti is there in the Atma. The Atma has desire. But the desire of the Atma, when the Atma is its in pure state, the desire is always to please Krishna because of the true identity. So the desire is to relate to Krishna, to please Him. But when we are covered by material elements, then the mind kind of filters this original Ichha Shakti, the potency to desire. And these desires, instead of being centered upon Krishna, they become self-centered. So when we talk of the desires here and hatred, desires, this is all something which is self-centered. What else was the interaction of the film?
Conviction.
The convictions. Yeah, yesterday we said sometimes we are so identified with our ideas, with our convictions. But unless our convictions are backed up by Shastra, then we are never sure. There might be interactions of the field of activity, and they have nothing to do with the actual truth. They are asat. Convictions are asat, unless they are backed up by Shastric knowledge. And we saw that Krishna was doing that. He was backing up everything he said with all the Vedic authority, Shruti, Smriti, and the Vedanta, to explain all these things. What else did we learn?
Five stages of consciousness and
Maya. Oh, that was interesting, yes. Different stages of consciousness. So the living entity is conscious, but not fully. And according to how we evolve, and actually how we evolve our relationship and our attitude towards Krishna, according to our attitude towards Krishna, our consciousness is more or less covered. So in the very primary stage, it is so covered that we are identified 100% with the body, and our only concern is what? What is the first concern? Anna. To just somehow, you know, the body is there, and it's not even a consciousness at that time. It's hardly a consciousness. It's just an automatism. The stomach gets empty and immediately the hands reach out to fill up more. And it just goes on and on and on and on. There is eating and there is sleeping. Eating and sleeping. Eating and sleeping. So it's hardly consciousness at that stage. And then we saw that there is more sophisticated consciousness when we actually feel our own existence. And therefore there is a sense of self, and there is a sense of being alive. And recognizing oneself as alive, recognizing life in others, and the desire to protect oneself, to maintain that life as long as we can. In Ishopanishad, Prabhupada writes, as long as we can drag on, we will maintain. We are this pranamaya. It's very strong. Till the end of death, till the time of death, there is this desire to stay alive. So this is material consciousness. And even the mental platform which we cherish so much. We are so much fond of our ideas, emotions, desires, but it is all part of the kshetra. This is all material consciousness. Desire. Yes? First of all, spiritual emotions are in relation to Krishna. Whereas material emotions, they are in relation to me. They are self-centered. So all our likings, dislikings, wantings, not wantings, usually it's all based on the maintenance of this body and the acquisitions by this body, the needs of this body. Like, we don't like cold shower in the winter because it doesn't feel good to the body. So these are all things which are produced from the body itself. Spiritual emotions, we have to uncover. So instead of engaging ourselves and being so concerned with ourselves, we should be concerned with Krishna. So when we have the desire, we see a flower and we think, oh, this would be nice to offer that to Krishna. So this is the beginning of a spiritual emotion. And these spiritual emotions, right now, they are covered. And the process of sadhana bhakti will uncover these emotions, which are called bhava. The stage of bhava means the stage of experiencing spiritual emotions in relationship to Krishna. So we have to work on it through deity worship, through chanting, through serving. We have to develop a relationship.
So if we say that material emotion is the introduction of the five elements, then what are spiritual?
The spiritual emotions are the they are impressions which are obtained by the soul in contact with Krishna. Because the soul, in its original state, we will see that today, has senses. There is consciousness and there are spiritual senses. So when the spiritual senses, we described one time how Krishna is the source of all rasas. You remember? When the living entity is liberated and sees Krishna, he can smell the fragrance of Krishna, he can see the form of Krishna, he can feel the touch of Krishna's hand. So at that time, when the soul in its spiritual body comes in contact with Krishna, then the spiritual emotions are set into action. In one sense, yes, but it's the beginning of spiritual desire. Within itself, it is a spiritual desire. We want to offer a beautiful flower to Krishna. So the desire is spiritual. The desire is from the soul. The soul, the body doesn't want to offer. It's not the body that offers a flower to Krishna, it's the soul. One time I explained that the body goes to the barber's shop, the body goes to the restaurant, the body goes to the garage to repair the car, but who goes to the church? It's not the body that goes to the church, it's the soul. And because it is within the body also goes. You understand? So when you offer a flower to Krishna, yes, you are offering through with your material hand and you are thinking with your material mind, you are doing all this, but the impetus is from the soul. It's the soul that wants to offer. It's a spiritual activity. And all the activities of bhakti are like this. They are spiritual. They are enacted by the soul through the material body. So this is called sadhana bhakti. And the more we practice this sadhana bhakti, the more we will slowly, slowly come to actually experience, have an emotional experience as we practice, as we chant, as we worship the Lord. In the beginning we are very blunt. Our spiritual senses are so covered, we're very blunt, we don't feel anything. But as we keep practicing, we will begin feeling. And the first feeling is, of course, we feel very peaceful, we feel tranquil, we feel quiet, we feel joyful, satisfied. So all these things are the beginning of a spiritual perception, which is there. But in the end, we will feel ecstatic, very much excited. We will cry, we will roll on the ground. So how to get there? That is 8 to 12. How are we going to get there? 8 to 12 is the process of knowledge. Srila Prabhupada explains this process of knowledge in the beginning of the first paragraph. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. So there are different opinions about the different sections of the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And regarding this 8 to 12, some commentators, who are obviously not devotees, they think that these 20 items which we will study, they are the interaction of the field of activity. But Srila Prabhupada says, actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. So, what is this process of knowledge? It is the means to get out of ignorance. In fact, in the end it says, this is knowledge and everything else is ignorance. So the kshetragya, in terms of the soul, in terms of the conditioned soul, he's entrapped. We are entrapped within the body. And we want to achieve freedom and rejoin with Krishna and be able to serve him completely, freely. So for this, we have to follow this process of knowledge. And this will uncover our spiritual senses. If the cultivation of knowledge, which is described here, aims at attaining devotional service to Krishna, then it is the same as sadhana bhakti. Some people, of course, like the impersonalist, they will use this process of knowledge to achieve Brahman. So for them, because they have a different goal, they will obtain a different result. But if you read properly this, you will see that bhakti is included here. And in fact, bhakti, Srila Prabhupada will explain, is the root, the most important item of this process here. So let us read these verses here, and you can meditate on the meaning, if you can understand some of these. There are, all the verses have been put together, they are one. Amanitvam adambhitvam ahimsa kshantirarjavam acharyopasanam saucham sthairyam atmavinigraha indriyatheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshanudarshanam asaktirna vishvanga putra dara griha dishu nityam cha samachittatvam ishta nishtopapattishu maichananya yogena bhaktir abhyavicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aratir jana samsadi atyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnana tadashanam etat jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadatonyatham. So this is the translation here. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. So what would be your feedback on this when you hear all this in one go? Difficult? Some things are similar to the qualities of a devotee that we heard before, yes? Oh, yeah, very good. Knowledge is not just what we should know. It's not just something theoretical. Knowledge is not something theoretical. What is it here? What does it include? What is it? Qualities. There are qualities. So the process of knowledge is not something like memorization or learning something, A, B, C. No, it is a cultivation. It's a culture. We have to cultivate knowledge in different ways, including acquiring nice qualities, taking shelter of a spiritual master and serving him, and behaving in certain ways. So this is the path of knowledge here that Krishna is defining, and it's interesting enough that within that there is bhakti, avyabhicharini. Because we hear before that knowledge, the path of knowledge cannot be successful unless there is bhakti in it, some kind of bhakti in it. So Srila Prabhupada is going to explain all this from the point of view of devotional service. How all these items can be cultivated by the devotees themselves to acquire knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada says something interesting about this. As for factual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. So, let us all, as we go through these 20 items, you can rate yourself. Because this is the test. Prabhupada said, this is how to know how advanced I am. People are usually very keen on presenting themselves as very advanced, But Prabhupada said there should be a test. It's not just a claim. Yeah, there should be a test. So I invite all of you, we'll go through them all. So grade yourself from 1 to 10. Am I doing 1, 2, 3? Am I on 10? Which level are we on? I mean, we must be having something of this. And if we have 0, then you can put 0 and we know, you know, that we have to make further progress. So, what is the first item? So, Prabhupada also explains that these are like a crescendo. From 0 to, from the beginning, the process of knowledge begins at a certain point and it ends somewhere. So where does it begin? With humility. There is no acquisition of knowledge unless there is the beginning at least of humility. This is where the process of knowledge begins, because we heard before that we will have to surrender to a spiritual master. And that surrender itself is humility. So humility, how does Srila Prabhupada explain this humility? Okay, not, one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Oh. So, one who is humble, so this is a symptom of one who is humble, he will not demand respect and he will not be interested when people show respect. And especially, and sometimes people may give respect out of etiquette or out of sentiment or sometimes out of true appreciation. But within oneself, one should never be, if there is humility, and so we have to cultivate that there shouldn't be any, we shouldn't be anxious, we shouldn't desire this and become dissatisfied if we do not get that respect. Especially we should not relish, enjoy when people appreciate for one thing or the other. So this humility is based on the understanding that we are just a tiny part of the Lord, and especially it's based on the fact that we are not this body. And usually the praise goes to what? To the body. The praise goes to the body. The body has spoken nicely, so there is some praise. The body has done something nicely, has helped someone, so there are thanks, and so on. So we should always remember that we cannot do anything unless Krishna gives us the power to do it. We cannot say anything unless some mercy is there. So therefore, we are not the ones who deserve. Krishna deserves all the praise. Jagat Guru Prabhu, yes? The one who? Yeah, okay. Yes, so this, this is the end. We'll read that in the end. At the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully summarizes this point of humility. That the great puffed up thought is to be an impersonalist and to think oneself. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is trying to make us understand that this process is actually the process of cultivating devotional service. That if somebody, you know, thinks that the end of Gyan is to merge with the Brahman, he actually has failed in the process of knowledge, because he doesn't even have the first element, which is humility. So humility is to understand oneself as part and parcel of the Lord and be subordinate to Him. That is humility. So if one wants to merge with Krishna, means he has no humility. What is the use of the rest of all his detachment and everything? He hasn't really acquired knowledge. So which means that humility should be there in the beginning of the process, and humility will also be the result of the process. It will be there in the beginning and in the end. It is required to begin, and it is also the result in the end. Rukmini, you had a question? Yeah, in one sense, yes, because the last items, they are more internal, they are more focused on spiritual cultivation. Yes, so that means, in one sense, that once you have this devotion, if you have this devotion, then you will have access to proper cultivation of knowledge, which is mentioned afterwards. It will help. If you do not have that devotion, then what knowledge you are going to come up with in the end? That's the point, is if you don't have that unalloyed devotion, you will end up with some conclusion in the end, but it's going to be impersonal. And that is not complete knowledge. And remember that this is presented in the context of the section of Gyan. So, this is what we should think of honor and dishonor. Srila Prabhupada said, it is useless. So, this is... Prabhupada said it is accepting, or not just accepting, but relishing this praise. It is a great deception. Doesn't relate to the real self, so therefore it is false. So this submissive spirit is the beginning of knowledge. It is also explained that these first five items, humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, they are very basic initial qualities that should be, at least in a small proportion, they should be present so that one can access number six, which is accepting the spiritual master. If there is no humility, if there is pride, and so on, all these other things, we will not be able to approach the spiritual master and be successful in working with him. So what is the next item we have? Pridelessness. Adambitvam, pridelessness. What does that mean? Pridelessness means, what is pride then if we don't know about pridelessness? What is pride? Yes?
Pride means thinking that any ability or any capacity that we have, we think that it is I, or I got it, or I have it.
Yes.
Because of me I have that. Forgetting that it is a quality given by Krishna or Guru, who empowered us, but we are taking it that meaning that it is mine.
Okay.
So not acknowledging the...
Not acknowledging the source of our greatness,
yes.
Thinking that I am great, being identified with one's qualities, so that is pride. And usually pride also comes in relationship with others, also comparing oneself to others and thinking that one is better than others, that one is great in general, I'm great. So yes, this identifying whatever abilities one has as one's own, that is pride. Yes. Yes?
Whatever quality you don't have, but it feels like this quality we have.
Okay. This is also what Prabhupada explains in the purport, to pretend to be great. That is also pride in this concept here. So pridelessness, this adambitvam, is not to pretending to be what we are not, or not pretending to be great or greater than what we are. So not pretending to be what we are not. This is adambitvam. And we will see in chapter 16 that dambha, this is one of the asuric qualities. Then the next one is ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence. So two meanings of non-violence. The first one is
not giving distress
to others, and the second is
not giving them the sign of Krishna consciousness.
That we said, and what's the other?
Basically, to give somebody
give Krishna consciousness.
Not
giving it is violence. So giving Krishna consciousness, that is non-violence, active non-violence. Yes. Kshanti, the tolerance. What is kshanti? What is it that we should tolerate?
Insults.
Impediments in advancement, yes. Whatever we do, we should always expect that there will be some opposition. There will be some obstacle to our progress in Krishna consciousness. There will be some difficulty. This is the material world. It's natural. So we should not. It should not stop us. We should be tolerant and carry on with our spiritual activity. Because if we are not tolerant, then what will happen? Immediately our spiritual activity will stop. So that quality of tolerance is very important. We should be very tolerant and just flow like a river. You know, when water is flowing, if it meets an obstacle, what does it do? It just goes around it and keeps going. And we should not just say, oh, an obstacle, and stop there and meditate on the obstacle and get lost. No, we should tolerate insult, dishonor, opposition, difficulties, and keep going. Not get disturbed. Arjavam is simplicity. So, what is simplicity here? It means simplicity in the mind, being straightforward. Of course, we can also be simple externally, but this is simplicity when we deal with others, not being crooked, being straightforward, speak the truth, free from diplomacy. So we have to learn that. We have to catch ourselves. So have we been marking? Oh no. We have not marked. For humility, how many points do we get? You can put the points. You get one? That's good. You're qualified. For pridelessness, how much do we get?
Minus.
You get minus? Oh. For ahimsa, everyone should get some marks for ahimsa, no? by Prabhupada's mercy, we have to preach, so somehow or other we are doing something. We should get some marks for ahimsa. Tolerance? Do we get some marks for tolerance? We should get some marks. Simplicity? Arjavam? Next one is, so we should develop these to become qualified to serve the spiritual master. You know, if we are not simple, how will we, you know, behave? All these things are very much required. And the next one is Acharya Upasana, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Why should we approach the bona fide spiritual master? What should be our motivation when we approach the spiritual master?
Surrender.
Surrender. We studied this in 436. What should be our attitude when we approach the spiritual master?
Submissiveness.
Submissiveness.
Service.
Service.
Inquiry.
This is what we do with him. But what should be our motive? What should we want to do? To do what? To learn. Okay. To learn, yes.
To please.
Yes. This is the essence of the relationship with the spiritual master. We should want to please him. If the spiritual master is pleased, Prabhupada explains something very important. What happens if the spiritual master is pleased? The disciple immediately advances. This is the power of kripa. He becomes a kripa siddha, almost. If the spiritual master is pleased, Srila Prabhupada says, the disciple will advance even if he is not following properly the rules and regulations of devotional service. So this is very miraculous, very extraordinary. What is another meaning? So one meaning is, if the spiritual master is pleased, we will be advancing in spite of not being a good follower. What is another meaning? It will be easy to follow. If we have pleased the spiritual master, it will be easy to follow Krishna Bhakti. And if he is not pleased with us, after some time, it will be very difficult to follow. Because we can follow devotional service based on that spark of spiritual energy which is awake in us. And that spiritual energy descends through the Guru Parampara. So if we are well connected with the spiritual master, then it will be, the energy will come and it will be easy to follow. And if we are not well connected, if we are a bit rebellious and we are not thinking of pleasing him, then it will be difficult to follow. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this acceptance of the spiritual master is essential, because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. So this is an important step. There are three important elements that have been identified by Srila Prabhupada in this list of 20. The first one, humility. And then the sixth one, accepting the spiritual master. And then number 16, avyavicharini, bhakti, pure devotion. These three things are most important. At the end of the first paragraph in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. So it's not just for the jnanis, for the devotees also. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. So we have to accept the spiritual master. It is not optional. Number 7 is Shaucham, which means cleanliness. There are two kinds of cleanliness, internal and external. So we should follow both. And the spiritual master trains the disciple in the matter of being clean. By worship of the deity, we learn external cleanliness, and by the chanting of mantras and other internal spiritual practices of bhakti, we learn internal cleanliness. Cleanse the mind. 8, sthairyam, which means steadiness. So steadiness in our different activities of devotional service. Where does this steadiness come from? From what? From determination, yes. The determination to make progress. So we have to cultivate that determination to make progress. I had asked you to look at Ishopanishad to understand these elements better. Anybody looked at Ishopanishad? You did, Akinchana? Yes, that's good. Did you find something about stereum? What did they say, Prabhupada say in Ishopanishad about stereum? It was interesting. He talked about studying Shastra. Studying Shastra. This is something which brings steadiness, which helps us attain steadiness. By hearing, we get that determination to advance. We are constantly reminded, this is the goal, this is the way, this is the process. So our determination becomes strong. And when the determination is there, then there is steadiness. If there is no steadiness, there is a lack of determination. So we have to cultivate this by hearing. Atma vinigraha, self-control. What is this? Self-control? Okay, we should accept that which is favorable, right? And associate with people who are favorable, who can, you know, who do not hamper our devotional service. So self-control. So this is Prabhupada, this is the explanation on the ultimate platform of those who practice Yukta Vairagya. Now we accept things which are favorable for spiritual progress. Then there is Indriyateshu Vairagyam, the renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. How do we practice this? By engaging in devotional service. Instead of engaging the senses in sense gratification, we engage the senses in devotional service. This is how the bhaktas practice Indriyateshu Vairagyam. We renounce sense gratification we accept prasadam. And sense control begins with the tongue. One should not accept more than required for to maintain the body together. Yes, certainly. And then one should utilize the body to serve Krishna. And particularly one should chant Hare Krishna and eat prasadam. These two things are the basis of Krishna consciousness. Chanting, because the tongue has the propensity to vibrate, Prabhupada always says, so many things. So it should be engaged in chanting Hare Krishna. And that sound will purify the senses and it will purify the mind. And that tongue has also the propensity to taste so many palatable things. So therefore, it should taste prasadam. Then it can taste. And if we can be regulated in these two things, avoid eating bhoga and chant, if we can do these two things, then we will progress in Krishna consciousness. Anahankar, absence of false ego. What does that mean? Not identifying with the body and this is what the Mayavadi will say, I'm not this body. And accepting the real identity. This is anahankar for a devotee. Not just I am not this body, but what am I? I am a servant. Aham Brahmasmi, that's the first stage. I am the soul. And then further than that, I am a servant of Krishna. So giving up a false identity, understanding the real identity, this is the practice of this anahankar. I should evolve my dasya bhava. Then janma mritu jara vyadi dukkha dosa anudarsanam, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease. We have to be convinced of this. So what should we do about these things? We should discuss them. Again and again we should hear about the pains of birth and everything else. It begins with birth. In the material world, when people think of birth, what do they think?
Celebration.
Celebration. Somebody's born. There's a celebration. Renewal. Or when they think of birthday, very happy. I'm very happy. It's my birthday. What is there to be happy about? So this is what the Jnani is asking. What is there to be happy about? Happy to suffer? You get to take birth. So this, just to take birth, that is pain. And everything that follows birth, that is all pain. So we should be convinced of this. Srila Prabhupada is a little hard in this. There is distress, he says. He says, we should discuss all these things. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. In Sri Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada said the same, that the miseries of this material life, they serve as an impetus to push us towards spiritual life. When everything is fine, we forget about Krishna. We immediately, that's why it is said it is so difficult to practice bhakti in the heavenly planets, because it's so nice over there. So there's no need, there's no impetus, I'm fine. One should not make? We should not make arrangements to cultivate happiness. We should make arrangement to get out of here. Yes, that is intelligent. Usually people glorify birth and they fear death. Yes. Yes. They would like to stop death. But Prabhupada explains, if you want to stop death, the first thing is, don't take birth. Then there will be no, if you don't take birth, then there will be no death. So, but they don't understand. There's something fun about this. Disease is the symptom of the body of a sinful person. Oh. People usually become very compassionate when there is disease. Oh, poor thing, you're sick. It's natural, it's fine. We have to be compassionate. But the Jnani discusses, what is the cause of disease? It is sin. So that becomes immediately less nice. Murderers of brahmanas are later afflicted by tuberculosis. Drunkards become toothless. Those who have stolen gold are afflicted by diseased nails. And sinful men who have sexual connections with the wife of a superior are afflicted by leprosy and similar skin diseases. So this is the beauty of disease. It's actually rooted in sin. So it's ugly from beginning to end. Not only it's distressful, but it's also rooted in something not nice. So we should be convinced of that. And Prabhupada says, in India there is great agitation for birth control in various mechanical ways, but birth cannot be mechanically controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Nudarshanam, birth, death, old age and disease are certainly the primary distresses of the material world. So why this is put here? You can say, oh, there are so many other problems in the world. Why they haven't put all the problems there? But the other problems, they are so insignificant compared to these. Yeah, you may be having financial problems, but as long as you're healthy, you're okay. So you may be having some emotional problem, that's fine, but you are young, it's okay. The real problem is old age. It's death, it's disease. These are the basic problems. People are trying to control birth, but they are not able to control death. And if one cannot control death, one cannot control birth either. These two are connected. So this is like zooming, you could say zeroing, you know, on the problem of life. You can make a long, long list of the problems of life. But the Vedic scriptures, the sages, they have zeroed on it. Krishna said, these are the four problems. You don't have any other problems. And we have to find the solution for these problems. Asakti means detachment. In the Vedic tradition? What is joyful? Birth, of course. Birth is joyful in the sense that it is yet another opportunity to realize Krishna. So it is auspicious in that sense. In one sense it's inauspicious because it means you didn't get it last time, and you're gonna grow teeth again, and you're gonna cry again, and so it's inauspicious. But on another hand, it's a human birth, and any birth. Yes. So it's an opportunity for spiritual enlightenment. Therefore, we welcome new birth. But it should not be wasted. Death is also an opportunity. Disease is also an opportunity for a devotee. Old age is a super opportunity. You know, it's self-realization in action. When you become old, you're definitely not this body. Before you had a doubt. But when you become old, you actually get to the Brahma-Bhuta stage really quickly. I'm not this body. It can't be. It can't be. There is a separation. The mind, even the self, the soul, wants to do so many nice things and the body is not cooperating. I'm definitely different from this body. There is absolutely no doubt. It becomes a realized fact. So asakti, detachment. And then anabhishvanga, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. So what does that mean? So there are two things to consider there. One is that, okay, one may get out of family life altogether or never enter family life, because family life, even though it is auspicious for many good reasons, but at the same time, it really keeps one busy on the material platform. It has that tendency to keep one very, very busy dealing with what? With birth, with disease, with old age, and death, because this is what happens within the family. And ignorance, deal with ignorance. You have to educate the children because they don't know. And relationships and attachments and emotions. So this is very much, there is a danger in family life, the danger of living on the material platform. And it is indeed very, very difficult to escape the material platform within the realm of family life. So therefore, those who want to acquire knowledge, it says that you better avoid this family life. So therefore, in the Varnashram system, there are four ashrams. And only one deals with family life, and the other three are out of this family life. And it is understood that the three ashrams, those three ashrams are particularly for cultivating spiritual knowledge. So, but as devotees, we have fortunately a way to deal with family life, which is natural for most of the people. So how do we make this family life, how do we understand detachment from children, wife and home and husband, etc.? How do we understand that? How do we understand that detachment? Yes, everything is for Krishna's service, and the center of the house is Krishna. The center of the house is Krishna, the goal of life is Krishna, the main relationship is with Krishna. We are all united together in service to Krishna. Our father is Krishna. So I may be the mother, you may be the son, but on a different point of view, we are brother and sister. So this is the vision of the devotee. There may be a father, a mother, and three kids, but that from the material point of view, from the spiritual point of view, they are all brothers and sisters. And sometimes we see in Krishna consciousness that they become God brothers, God sisters, the father, the mother, the child, and so on. And sometimes the son becomes more advanced than the father. And then the father says, oh, he is my father. Speaking of his son. So amongst the devotees, the relationship shifts around. If we can keep that spiritual, so how do we bring that spiritual focus? Instead of being attached to the family members, we are attached to Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction. It doesn't mean that we are completely detached from the family members. Affection, Srila Prabhupada says, is natural. So it's not that there shouldn't be any attachment, but the goal should be clear. And the attachment should be favorable to the development of Krishna consciousness. For example, in material life, a mother is so attached to her son, the last thing she wants is that he becomes what? A brahmachari. He will not like this. So this is false attachment, because the goal is not the benefit of the son, but it's her benefit. She wants to keep the son with her. She wants to keep a constant contact, relationship. She wants to see the son married. She wants to see the grandsons and granddaughters and this and that. But for whose benefit? So it is a little bit self-centered. So all relationships, we have to see how if we really love someone, then we should allow that person to serve as much as possible. And then this attachment is spiritual. It is spiritualized. If the wife serves the husband, helps the husband, relates with the husband in a way that the husband becomes a better devotee, then the relationship is successful. If the husband relates with his wife in such a way that she will become more attached to Krishna than to him, then the relationship is successful. But on the material platform, that is very difficult. The husband wants the wife to work for me. The mother wants the child to be with her. So this is material relationships. Now, how are we going to reach that level of material detachment and replace it by spiritual attachment amongst the family members? Srila Prabhupada gives the recipe. What is the recipe? Chant. Chant individually and chant together. The family members should have kirtan together at home. This is very basic Krishna conscious grihastha life. Then what should be done? Worship the deity in each and every grihastha's home, unless they live right next to the temple. There should be a deity. And there should be service to the deity. All together. All the members of the family should be engaged in deity worship. In that way, they are all focused on one point. And they develop a relationship with Krishna. And they develop their identity that we are all equal in the face of Krishna. We are all Krishna's servant. There is not a father, a mother, a child. We are all servants of Krishna. So in that way they develop spiritual attachment for each other as servants of Krishna. And what else should be done?
Discussion
on the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing Krishna Katha together at least once a day. The family comes together, does arti, then hears something. And what is the fourth item? Prasad. Yes. Prasad means that the house is not for sense gratification. The house is for the pleasure of Krishna. So everything that is cooked, it goes first to Krishna. Everything that is purchased, it is meant to somehow enhance the service to Krishna in the house, or the service of the devotees. Everything is offered to Krishna. Everything is offered in the service of the devotees. So, and then this tendency to enjoy, which is at the root of one accepting the grihastha ashram in general, that will be dissipated. There will be detachment. Then there is even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. Yes, we should learn this. Usually Prabhupada says something good happens. I told you the story of my suitcase, you remember? In second chapter. I was on the train from Maharashtra to Calcutta. And you go through an area which is very dangerous, full of thieves. So I went, I was very tired, just came out of many preaching programs, got on the train, fell asleep immediately. It was winter time. I put my sleeping bag and I put my suitcase underneath and I slept. Next morning I awoke to brush my teeth and I look under the suitcase and gone. I was not very detached. So, oh, big pain in my heart. The subtle connections with my suitcase were all my mind. Before getting up, my mind was already in the suitcase. The brush is there, the toothpaste is there. And when I opened, oh, there was a cut of all the subtle tentaculars, you know, that go in the objects around us, and there was no more suitcase. So I was very distressed. Fortunately, I am a practiced traveler. So I had another bag with me, which had all the main ingredients of life, so I could survive. And when I arrived in Calcutta, I got down on the platform, and you know, the porters, the coolies, they came, and usually they are very harassing. They want to carry the bag and they harass, and you have to get rid of them, or if you need them, you have to fight with them for the price, for this, for that. So I felt very relieved. I told the coolie, no suitcase. That was very nice. Then I had to go to the police to report about the thing. Oh, that was very horrible. Then I got on the local train. And again, there were so many people, but it was so easy because I had no suitcase. Then I arrived in Navadvip. Again, very nice. I took the rickshaw. And then I had to stop in the town, and I had to go buy clothes, soap, everything to survive. So I had to go shopping. That was not good. And then I got on the boat with hardly anything to carry. That was very nice. Then I arrived in Mayapur, and I remembered, oh, my CD, Veda Base, was inside, gone. Very bad. So this is... We go through this thing, you know, good, bad, up, down, based on one same factor. What happened? No more suitcase. Sometimes happy, sometimes distressed. So we have to learn evil-mindedness. That's very difficult. Then 16, Avyabhicharini Bhakti, constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada comments on this here in the beginning of his purport. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. The process of knowledge terminates, even though it's in the middle, Rukmini, Prabhupada says, the process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So this is the goal to achieve. So if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes to devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. So this is the main, this is the heart of the process of knowledge. If that one is there, all the others will flourish and develop. If that one is not there, we will endeavor artificially to evolve the others, but there will be no success, no complete success. So this is Navavida Bhakti, practicing all the items of devotional service. So even those who are jnanis, sometimes we see they also engage in some worship. They also engage in archana. They engage in some aspects. They also sometimes do kirtan. But when doing these items of bhakti, that's why after that comes the fact that we should cultivate knowledge, because our idea should be clear. That will come from the spiritual master, that there is a difference between the soul and the super soul. If that idea is not clear, then for the impersonalist, this bhakti is only like a ladder, and when you reach the top of the wall, you kick it away. But actually, bhakti is the essence, it's the goal. This is what we want to get to. And it's called avyabhicharini. Avyabhicharini means it is, as it says, it's ananya. Maicha ananya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. This is ananya bhakti, pure devotional service. We should develop purity in our relationship with Krishna. Then number 17, aspiring to live in a solitary place. This is vivikta desha sevitvam. So what does this mean for the devotees? Yeah, to be free from unwanted association, or rather to live with devotees. It is very much connected to the next, which is arati jana sangadi, detachment from the general mass of people. So the devotees associate with devotees. And even amongst the devotees, we should learn to associate with devotees who are serious in Krishna consciousness, who have tastes similar to our tastes. Regarding detachment from the general mass of people, Srila Prabhupada mentioned something specific. Where do the general mass of people go?
Cinema.
They go to cinema. Yeah. They go to sports clubs, beauty clubs, all kinds of clubs. So one who becomes a devotee and who wants to be successful in bhakti, he has to get free from this association. Otherwise, along with the general masses, we will end up in the cinema hall, we will end up in the sports clubs, we will end up, you know, and then we will develop the wrong kind of aspirations. Then there is adhyatma jnana nityatvam, accepting the importance of self-realization. And Srila Prabhupada explains this is especially in accepting the importance of realizing Bhagavan, and the importance, accepting, understanding the difference between the soul and the super soul, and the importance of practicing bhakti yoga. So this means that one has to become more and more and more concentrated in spiritual life. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we are like, you know, we are practicing spiritual life, but we have so many other things to do as well. So these items here, they come towards the end of the line here, because they become the primary activity of one who advances through the process of knowledge. As all these items gradually develop within the heart of the practitioner, knowledge expands in such a way that one does not want to do anything but devotional service. One does not want to do anything which is not connected with advancing in spiritual life. This is the progress that one has realized, accepted the importance of self-realization, and therefore acts to realize Krishna. Not that, yes, yes, I know about self-realization, but I have other things to do. No. If I really know the importance of self-realization, then I practice devotional service as my main activity, my main occupation. And then there is undertaking philosophical search for the absolute truth. So these two items deal with understanding Krishna. In other words, we begin with humility, and the whole progress takes us to understanding of Krishna ultimately. So there should be philosophical search for the absolute truth, so that the mind be easily fixed on Krishna, also so that we could preach. It's one thing to have understood, but it's another thing to be able to convey the message to others. So Srila Prabhupada explains, of course, that knowledge is not meant for improving the material condition of life, but it should be completely focused on Krishna. Prabhupada explains, there are many research scholars and philosophers who study sex life or some other subject, but according to Bhagavad Gita, such research work and philosophical speculation have no value. That is more or less nonsensical. According to Bhagavad Gita, we should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. Tattva. We should find the truth. We should find the essential substance of life, the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. So these last items are directly connected with discovering the absolute truth. Yes. It can be any level, but it has to be ananya bhakti in the sense you shouldn't be using the bhakti to achieve something else. You should just practice it as a, you know, service to Krishna. Yeah, of course, because this is a practice here. So you come, you know, you keep going, and bhakti evolves. As the bhakti becomes pure, well, as we said, we are in the Gyan section. This is how to cultivate knowledge. But if you practice in this way, and you have this element of your oven, what Prabhupada explains clearly is that the knowledge that we are talking about, we should take it from Bhagavad Gita. That's why he defined the knowledge before. It's the knowledge of Kshetra and Kshetragya. And who is the Kshetragya? There is the soul and the super soul. First you should have this basis, basic understanding. And then when you make a philosophical, you know, search of the absolute truth, you understand you are looking for the Supreme Lord. And you are looking for the relationship between yourself and the Supreme Lord. But for those, that's why Prabhupada warned us in the beginning that if you make the mistake of not differentiating the soul and the super soul, everything is wasted. You will not get to the topmost level of knowledge. Yeah, he matched them to devotional service. We are in the Gyan section. Yes. Yes. So the Mayavadis or impersonalists, they will do research into the Brahman. The materialists, they do research into some nonsense. And the spiritualists, the devotees, they do research into the existence of Krishna and our relationship with Him. So you can practice this according to your conviction. But we should not practice according to material conviction. We should practice about according to what the Bhagavad Gita is instructing, that we are not the same as Krishna. We are different. We will read that last paragraph here. It's quite a masterpiece. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase, beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now, on this staircase, there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second, or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. Compete with God means what? Wanting to merge, not accepting the one's submission, submissive nature, not taking that submissive approach and wanting to be the Brahman or to merge with the Brahman. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not truly possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, I am God. This is because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. So this is the basis of humility, that subordination to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. So we have to cultivate this service attitude towards Krishna. This is the essence of knowledge of this culture. Krishna says at the end of the 12th verse, etat jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadato nyatha. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all forms of material knowledge are merely external features of the illusory energy, and by culturing them, one becomes no better than an ass. So those who do not take up this process here, beginning with humility, they turn into asses. And they work hard in the material world, trying to maintain their body for no good reason. So we should take up this process. Any question? Or we stop here? Srila Prabhupada says, for us devotees, all these qualities, they will come from practicing Navavida Bhakti. They will come from Bhakti. Bhakti is the root of all the other qualities. So in devotional service, we have Murti Seva, Prasad Seva, Vaishnav Seva, so many kinds of services, Atiti Seva. We serve by service. By serving the devotees, you will develop some humility. You know, by serving the deity, we saw one item, by serving the deity within the family, you will develop detachment from these material, you know, relationships, and you will develop more transcendental relationships. So in that way, by the practice of devotional service, we are going to... you can understand all these things. We cultivate, when we offer obeisances, we also cultivate humility. When we offer obeisances, we cultivate anahankar, because we identify ourselves as a servant of Krishna. When we preach, we practice ahimsa, and so on. So they are all like this. Tolerance, by following the regulations of devotional service, we become tolerant to whatever disturbances are there. We cannot be bothered whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's far away, whether it's near. We have to hear, we have to chant, we have to go to the temple. So in that way, by practicing bhakti, we pass all these things. Shaucham, this is the basic training in deity worship. Stheriam, we said we cultivated by study of the Shastra, self-control, take prasadam only, nothing unoffered. Oh, but there is a nice samosa. You know, no, it's not offered. That's how we cultivate self-control. When you go on the train, take a tiffin. Otherwise, every time the train stops. And then the man will come, garam, garam, samosa, garam, garam, samosa, garam. And we will be tempted. But no, we have to eat only prasadam. So that's, in that way, you can see through bhakti, we are cultivating all these things. Definitely, it comes through devotional service, through association. Find devotees who have these qualities, serve them. For devotees, everything comes through service. This is how we develop these qualities. This is all knowledge which is geared at achieving bhakti. And if we cultivate bhakti, then this is the two things. Knowledge is essential to bring us to bhakti. But bhakti itself produces knowledge. So all this thing is going to be produced by the practice of devotional service. Many of them, I think, are similar. Many of them are similar. Which means that a devotee develops these qualities. Alright, Srila Prabhupada ki. So be ready for the afternoon. In the afternoon we are going to study the object of knowledge. It's a little complicated, like what we saw yesterday. And then if we are lucky, we'll begin on Prakriti Purusha and their relation. Can you repeat? When the devotees are in long time in devotional
service, they are not practicing. Maybe this quality you don't see in the devotees.
We don't see sometimes. We don't see these qualities. Yeah. Because you know, we have to progress in Krishna consciousness. That's the point. We have to progress, and this progression is not the same for everybody. First, we must understand that not everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness is on the same platform. Some people come, they are already advanced. So after a few years of practice, they look very nice, they have wonderful qualities. And some people come and they are very bare. Beginners, they come from karma, from papa, from vikarma, who knows from where. So even though they practice, it's very difficult to purify.
Yes, sometimes the reciprocating with devotees are very
careful. Yes. Well, that principle that we should not give trouble to others, we should try to practice that, is very difficult. We should try to practice that. So people, yeah, not everyone. There is the level what is called anartha nivritti, you know, in bhakti. So anartha nivritti means to get rid of all the obstacles, which includes all everything which is born from tamas and rajas. So anger and all these things, it is born from the lower gunas. But you know, we heard also in the 12th chapter that there are different levels of practice of bhakti. One is you just outside engage your senses and all. But more powerful is you apply your mind. You try to concentrate the mind, try to hear. So we have many people who have not come to this point of mental cultivation of Krishna consciousness. They just work for Krishna. So it is good, but it will take time before they get purified. So therefore they are still passionate, angry, and sometimes, you know, they are not aware, their mind is a little crooked, but they are not aware, but they want to serve.